This is Mae Russell. This is the second half of World Watchers, program number 793. And I want to go into the articles on drug connections to the Contra Gates for the second half of this program, and probably for many weeks to come. The Washington Post had a story September 15th, 1984, that was 2.5 years ago. It was regarding George Shultz, the Secretary of State, speaking before the Miami Chamber of Commerce, and he was telling them that the Reagan administration was making progress towards halting the flow of illicit drugs into the United States, and that the role of the drugs came from communist countries who were involved in drug trafficking. He said this was a cause of great concern for the free world, nations of the free world, and he's speaking in Miami, the headquarters of a lot of the banks of narcotics traffic, and certainly the hub of the anti-Castro Cuban drug connections to Southeast Asia, to South America, and going all over the world. Shultz said that Cuba was involved with drug smuggling, and he cited a person who had been arrested, Frederico Vaughn, who said that drugs were coming out of Nicaragua. Later, Frederico Vaughn was completely discredited. A witness who was to testify against him, Adler Barry Seal, who was the pilot for Jorge Osha, I mentioned him last week, one of the kingpins of the Colombian cocaine cartel. Seal was gunned down February the 20th, 1986, but even though he was gunned down, the evidence came out to illustrate that there was no support for the statements that George Shultz was saying to the Miami Chamber of Commerce. This is an administration that went into office saying that the president would be hard on terrorism, and we find that he not only was arming Iran, but giving the nod to Israel to go ahead and arm until we sent the arms directly to them ourselves. This is the administration that was going to be hard on drugs, that is directly linked from the National Security Council, from the generals, the admirals, and the agents of our military involved with drug traffickers and retired generals, retired CIA, still working in the White House, Pentagon, and State Department, right up with the Vice President of the United States, and some of them, I'm sure, the influence, of course, would go right to the White House, but working directly with George Bush, CIA director who at that time worked with these drug dealers. There was a very important article in the Washington Post, February the 3rd, 1987, titled Organized Crime Ties Found Here, here meaning Washington, D.C. Pizza parlors linked to Columbia drug ring. Now, the pizza parlors that they're talking about in Washington and in Virginia are linked through 7 months of FBI wiretips to the pizza parlors in New York City, to the Sicilian Mafia, from New York City to Sicily, and the pizza parlors are the connection of Chief of Staff Donald Reagan and Merrill Lynch and his banking contacts, the Credit Suisse in Switzerland and other international institutions. This is the first linkage that I've seen in an article, and it's referring to a court case that is taking place in Washington at the current time, that links to the Southern Air Transport, the CIA airplane, and the Columbia cocaine king, Jorge Osha, who's a partner of Mr. Letter Rivas, who was arrested one day later. This explains why he was allowed to be picked up after doing years of narcotics traffic with Robert Vesco and the international figures. But this court case opened up in Washington February the 2nd. It was reported in the Washington Post, rather, February the 3rd, and I'll go into the chronology of drug arrests and murders since that date. Last week, I gave you a chronology of drug dealing events that pertain directly to Vice President George Bush. But what preceded them was the article one day before that was in the Washington Post that I just read this week about the cocaine distribution. The article was written by Nancy Lewis and Carl Murphy covering a court case in Washington that is going to be one more piercing of the Contragate story as the two merge together, and will take you probably then, and as the stories evolve through the next few years, not necessarily in the court cases, but the public is still not totally aware of the Donald Reagan pizza connections enough to be outraged and demand that he never should have been Secretary of the Treasury, much less Chief of Staff of the White House. The article says a cocaine distribution network operated out of pizza restaurants in Washington, Virginia, They've been linked to organized crime and one of the world's largest drug cartels. That's the Medellin cartel, the Colombia group, with Jorge Osha and his partners, of course, are Pablo Escobar. Both of them are defendants in the lawsuit of the Christic Institute. Have named those two, and Mr. Leder Rivas was arrested one day after this came out. This is the only the second time, they said, that authorities have linked drug trafficking in Washington, D.C. to a major Colombian drug exporting cartel. The reason it's the only the second time is that J. Edgar Hoover was part and parcel of the drug operation, of the organized crime operation. J. Edgar Hoover's sole goal, and he was appointed FBI director by Secretary of Commerce Herbert Hoover, was to go after communists and labor leaders. Anyone who was a drug trafficker or a fascist was okay for him, and Hoover worked with Interpol and the top Nazis in charge of the Jewish Solution. So drug traffic and Nazis were okay for J. Edgar Hoover, and that's why the powers that be never even allowed anything like this to happen. The alleged network, they said, is the most extensive ever uncovered in the Washington area, and it stretches from Washington to Columbia and Virginia, the cocaine sold along with the pizzas. And then it goes even further. FBI agent James Glass directed the investigation 8 months ago. This is just shortly before Eugene Hasenfoss fell down in Nicaragua. And that he testified February the 2nd, 1987. That's one day before this was printed. And the U.S. District Court in Washington, that Alfredo the Butcher Torriella, 43, he was charged with conspiracy to distribute cocaine. He's an associate of New York's Genovese organized crime family. Now, the Genovese connections go to Jack Ruby and the Dallas operation that was involved in the murder of John Kennedy, to Raymond Donovan and the Schiavone Construction Company, and the Reagan administration crime families have associations closely linked to the Genovese, the very operations that made it possible for Reagan and Nixon to become in the White House after the two Kennedys were murdered. Those people were instrumental in playing a role in killing John Robert Kennedy, the Genovese family, and the links of the organized crime group. But the arrests in Washington are linked to the Genovese organized crime family. Torriella is nicknamed Jack the Butcher. Is nicknamed the Butcher, rather, because of his work in New York City collecting debts for organized crime extortionists. Torriella operates a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. Benimino Centurino, 48, owner of another pizza parlor in Washington, is a good soldier of the Sicilian Mafia. This is separate from the American La Cosa Nostra, but it's organized in the same way. So if you want to draw a square in terms of the Contragate drug connections that are coming now, you have the Washington, Virginia at one corner, your New York pizza parlor at the other, Sicily, Italy, and there's extensive lawsuit going on there now, as well as one in New York that just was winding down, and then Colombia, the Colombia cocaine kings. And of course, the common denominator between Washington and Virginia and New York pizza is Donald Reagan, chief of staff of the White House. The article says Benimino Centurino, owner of the Uri, as I said, is a good soldier of the Sicilian Mafia. Giuseppe Luciano Cortono, associated with several pizza restaurants, Pizza Delight in particular, also has Sicilian Mafia connections. Remember when Alfred Bloomingdale gave a pizza parlor interest to Vicky Morgan, his mistress, down in Fort Lauderdale. Centruni and Cotone allegedly sold more than 24 pounds of cocaine to an FBI undercover agent, which is very little, actually. The sales were from June 1986 to January 87, and the arrest just took place in January. The FBI obtained court-ordered wiretaps of Cotone and Centurino's homes, and after they listened to them, they got four more wiretaps going, and the pizza restaurants the people operating the restaurants were arrested, altogether 12 people, with the drug importers. The case was broken down into three areas. The importers, the ones coming from the cocaine in Colombia, to the middlemen that purchased the cocaine and put it in various places in Washington, Virginia safe houses, and three, the retailers and the pizza parlors that deliver the cocaine with the pizzas. Court documents allege that the importers, the importer part of it, were part of the Medellin drug cartel headed by Jorge Luis Osha Vasquez out of Colombia. Again, he's a defendant in the Christic Institute with General John Singlaub, General Richard Secord, CIA Thomas Kleins, and CIA Theodore Shackley, who Kleins and Shackley went to work for the National Security Council after they absconded with millions of dollars from the Central Intelligence Agency. And one of the co-leaders of this group was Carlos Leder Rivas, who was arrested one day after this article was printed. Oshie Vasquez has been named directly in charge of the 1983 guns for drugs transfer at Airfield Barranquilla, Colombia. The FBI was told this arrest involved a cargo plane with the markings of Southern Air Transport, the former CIA airline involved in Iran-Contra affair. Oshie Vasquez and his two brothers were among five Colombians indicted in August of 1986. That is the updated Christic Institute suit by a federal grand jury in Miami in the largest federal drug trafficking indictment in U.S. history. And also, it's important because of their links to the National Security Council, to the Pentagon, and to the CIA. A senior law enforcement officer said that Marcos Cadavid, a Colombian extradited to the United States in 1985, worked with Oshie Vasquez in Miami. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison, and he's detailing the operations out of Colombia and into Miami. The wiretap to a lieutenant of Oshie Vasquez in Colombia went to the apartment of a Colombian embassy receptionist, Patricia Leon Gomez, where they picked up information about the Colombia network. Anthony Frank Nocero, 61, arrested on federal charges in Ozone Park, New York, is a member of the American La Cosa Nostra, who Centurio and Catone knew through their Sicilian mafia connections. Now, last week, I went into some very important dates in chronological order of drug trafficking and persons dead or arrested or giving themselves up, or not necessarily drug trafficking, but related to George Bush and the drug traffickers, directly related to those people who were also in traffic. I'm going to repeat those for you, and then insert the new dates of things happening in Miami that are pertinent to this case or elsewhere that are coming out, because this one trial of these 12 defendants is opening a wedge, another view of the operation and the operators who are linked to the White House and the National Security Council. And the other wedge is linked to the pizza connections of Donald Reagan, the chief of staff. Now, the news articles this week, the first not for the past 2 weeks. The first one is the one I just cited, February the 3rd, that came in the Washington Post. The trial in Washington opened February the 2nd. The organized crime ties in Washington, Virginia, linked to Sicilian mafia, to the Genovese crime family, to the cocaine of the Medellin network in Colombia, the drug cartel of Jorge Luis Oshie, the defendant in the Christic suit, to the pizza connections, both in Virginia and Washington, and to New York City, Southern Air Transport Contra drugs, using that airplane, bringing weapons down and returning with drugs. Now, last week I mentioned the murder of Donald Arano, George Bush's associate, who was about ready to deliver 13 boats. He manufactures one of the fastest boats for the Drug Enforcement Agency, and he also has the possibility of selling drugs to the smugglers for fast getaways. He couldn't deny that either. So the article, the court case was February the 2nd. The article broke February the 3rd. On February the 4th, an associate of George Bush sold him a boat, has been identified with him in the Drug Enforcement Agency in Miami, and also identified as drug dealers, was gunned down in Miami. The very next day, February the 5th, Armando Fernandez Larias from Dina, from the Chilean Secret Service, asked for protective custody, would reveal his role in the murder of Orlando Letelier, working with Augusto Pinochet, the president of Chile. He wanted protection, and he surfaced. And, of course, the Dina worked with Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple and Task Force 157 under Henry Kissinger and Robert Keith Gray, Nixon, Reagan associates at the Public Relations Office. He wanted protection and gave himself up, and he's linked to these drug dealers and assassins. The very same day, Carlos Leder Rivas was brought to the United States, arrested on the 4th, brought to the United States where you don't have to hear him talk, bargain, blackmail. He's locked up. He's a partner of the persons named in the lawsuit in Washington. February the 6th, the newspapers had a column, the Associated Press and Wire Services, the L.A. Herald had, of the links of Rivas to Robert Vesco, which is another major artery. We could do 52 weeks on the Vesco connections, these people, and I'll update it. But the linkage of him came on national television, his association with Adolf Hitler, his association of ideas, Hitler's his hero, is Mussolini, and the connections of fascism and drugs is epitomized in the cocaine syndicate, working very closely with other cocaine and narcotic traffickers tied to the National Security Council, CIA, and Defense Department. February the 8th, 2 days later after the Rivas articles linking to Vesco were printed, because TV news isn't enough, and I have newsletters going back to 1983 and books linking letter Rivas to Robert Vesco. But 2 days later, a second suspect in the drug ring was arrested. His name is Jack Carlton Reed. His home base or port of operation is San Pedro, California, but he was picked up in Panama, and Panama is one of the major centers for offshore banking, for the Contragate banking. The Iranian funds went to Swiss banks and then to Panama. Panama has been a place for fascism and drug money, and he was arrested in Panama February the 7th, charged with a drug trafficking charge that goes back to 1981. This is 1987, and they had to bring him in, a partner of Letter Rivas, but he was arrested. This is the second fugitive in a cocaine case that I believe, like Klaus Barbie, was brought in 4 years ago and never went to trial. It is better to have them on the inside and silence than on the outside, blackmailing for large sums of money. Now, February the 11th, 3 days later, Mr. Scott Pierce, the vice president, he used to be president chairman of E.F. Hutton, decided to leave E.F. Hutton quickly. And an article in the Washington Post describes how he all of a sudden announced that he's leaving E.F. Hutton. Now, Mr. Pierce is the brother of Barbara Bush. He's the brother-in-law of Vice President Bush. And I, last week, was talking about the drug connections of George Bush. And I want to go into the role of Scott Pierce and E.F. Hutton and the news articles that are coming out and some that I also have in my files that are interesting. So all of a sudden, Barbara Bush's brother resigns from E.F. Hutton, and I'll get into that in 1 second. This is Scott Pierce. But before I do that, 2 days after he resigned from E.F. Hutton, a man was killed in Miami in an alley. He said that he wanted directions to get his yacht repaired, but he has this multimillionaire, Franz Pastella, 64, has a home in Montreal, one in Nassau, where he rides his boats from Nassau to Miami back and forth, and he was going to the 46th Annual International Boat Show. He spends his summers, as I say, in Montreal, and 1 week after the murder of Don Arno, the man who manufactures these very fast boats for the DEA or other people who want them, associated with George Bush, and Arno's associated with King Hussein of Jordan and Baby Doc from Duvalier from Haiti. Arno was gunned down, and 1 week after that, another boatman who works in the same milieu, the same places, out of Canada and out of Nassau, was gunned in an alley. They found some guys who did that. But, of course, they could just be paid to do it, and the courts would take care of them and let them out early. I think this man's background, the one who was gunned down in the alley, parallels a lot of the areas that we're talking about and interests in common. And a lot more, I'm sure, is going to come out about this particular person. Just like that Mr. Perry that was killed in New York. Later, we find out he was linked to the Iranian arms, to narcotics traffic, and had an important job with General Motors and so forth, and was directly linked to some of these operations. But look for articles on Franz Pastella and his background. And February 13th, he was gunned down. And February the 14th, in New York City, Pietro Alfano was gunned. He survived. He isn't doing well. Three men were arrested there. This is the one where they have the suspects. The other one, I don't believe they have any suspects on the murder of Franz Pastella. But Pietro Alfano, 46, is one of the defendants in that pizza connection trial. He was shot in Greenwich Village, New York City, and the pizza connections are directly linked to Merrill Lynch, E.F. Hutton, heroin, cocaine funds, and this is a big trial that uses Tommaso Buscetta, the international Sicilian mafia. This is the Sicilian mafia pizza case that is just culminating in New York City that's still going on in Italy that links to the Washington, D.C., Virginia case. So what we have since I updated you on the chronology last week was Scott Pierce resigning and a second suspect being brought in of the cocaine gang that are involved both in the Washington case and in the Contragate story. Scott Pierce resigning, the Sicilian mafia gentleman being gunned down in New York City as part of the pizza connection in the Sicilian New York mafia relating to the Washington, Virginia case, and the man in Miami, the boatsman who went to the 46th annual International Boat Show, who was killed in an alley. Now, it was the Wall Street Journal, not the Washington Post, that had a story. Hutton's group, Scott Pierce, quit as vice chairman. Scott Pierce, vice chairman of E.F. Hutton, resigned unexpectedly. And this article in the Wall Street Journal doesn't tell you he's George Bush's brother-in-law. He decided to leave the securities firm because of a management reorganization. He felt that he had been replaced by Robert Reitzer, Reiter-Reiser, R-I-T-T-E-R-E-I-S-E-R, the chief executive officer who came from Merrill Lynch, that's Donald Reagan's office, to E.F. Hutton, he became president in 1985 from Merrill Lynch and Company in the wake of Hutton's check-kiting scandal. In May of 85, Hutton pleads guilty, E.F. Hutton, to 2,000 counts of mail and wire fraud and bank overdrafting scheme. And the Hutton's chief executive last November, Robert Fohman, turned back a attempt by American Express to take over E.F. Hutton at the time. American Express is Kissinger Associates, member of Kissinger Associates, wanted to get, I guess, the E.F. Hutton records and books just at the time that they were involved with this huge financial scandal that also links to the crime syndicate. And Mr. Pierce just suddenly resigned this past week. Well, just in January, a month ago, January 22nd, 1987, there was a Washington Post article by Morton Mintz titled E.F. Hutton Paid Mr. Bell, this is Griffin Bell, the former attorney general, $2.5 million fee to look into the books of the check-kiting probe because there are lawsuits blaming E.F. Hutton for hiding the top officials involved in these financial swindles and blaming persons down below. This is the second lawsuit that is going to give us a peek of Contragate as it keeps unfolding. Now, the former Attorney General Griffin Bell is on the board of E.F. Hutton. George Bush's brother-in-law was president of E.F. Hutton. And when Mr. Hassenfuss, Eugene Hassenfuss, took the Southern Air Transport, the very plane and airline involved with the cocaine case in Washington, D.C. now, and involved with the Contragate case filed by Christic Institute in May, when Hassenfuss landed in Nicaragua and was shot down, the very things he mentioned first are, one, George Bush, our vice president, and he mentioned Mr. Medina Cereles, who was blew up Eric Cuba when Bush was CIA director, and Mr. Gomez Rodriguez, who was active with our CIA from the Bay of Pigs on, and who worked with Klaus Barbie in the cocaine connections, and with George Bush, and with the Southeast Asian group. He was over there and killed Che Guevara for the Central Intelligence Agency. And Hassenfuss mentioned Bush, Gomez Rodriguez, and Cereles, all tied to the Bush connections. And the attorney, former attorney general, went right down immediately to help Hassenfuss get out. And then, of course, 60 Minutes sent a team down to say, you will be out by Christmas, and he was. Now, this article about E.F. Hutton reveals a lot about the organization, and George Bush's brother-in-law may have resigned this week, but this is while he was there. He was there 12 years. This article says E.F. Hutton paid $2.5 million to former Attorney General Griffin Bell, this is Hassenfuss's attorney who went down to get him out, for a special investigation of check-kiting and financial manipulation that led the brokerage firm to plead guilty to 2,000 felonies and wire fraud. Bell's fee was disclosed in a deposition by a lawsuit that's taking place now filed by John M. Pierce. One is P-E-A-R-C-E, who worked for Hutton. The other one is P-I-E-R-C-E, George Bush's brother-in-law. Pierce was former manager of E.F. Hutton's Bethesda office. A jury trial is scheduled to begin March 2nd, so watch for articles on this case. in which he alleges defamation, invasion of privacy. In the lawsuit, Pierce accused former Attorney General Griffin Bell of being an agent for E.F. Hutton. He accused him and the company of making Pierce a scapegoat for a scheme initiated, encouraged, administered by the senior corporate offices with the knowledge and active concurrence of their directors. Hutton and Bell, of course, have denied this. It will take place in court. Pierce's lawyers want to get the documentation of the role of the former Attorney General, Griffin Bell, the one that went down to rescue Mr. Hassenfuss. In court filings, lawyers for Pierce have put on the record portions of recent depositions in which Hutton Chairman Robert M. Foman and President Scott Pierce, Barbara Bush's brother, said they were shocked at the extent of publicity around the guilty plea they took, but it turned out later that they had been blaming persons for activities to make them the fall guys and to flake away from the real problems in the case. Now, the Washington Post had an article January 27th, former Attorney General Griffin Bell, who investigated illegal cash management for E.F. Hutton, testified he didn't cite the offices of Hutton and Company in Washington simply because of an oversight. The people were not charged for crimes in the Washington E.F. Hutton that could link to these cases that I just mentioned that are also brewing in Washington, D.C. The branch accounted for 97, the Washington, D.C. branch of E.F. Hutton, accounted for 97 of 2,000 felonies of count and mail wire fraud of which they pleaded guilty, and yet they weren't named the offices in Washington, D.C. A former Bethesda branch manager said that this was an invasion of privacy and that they were making him the fall guy, as I say, for all these other people. Bell acknowledged that Hutton had obtained interest-free loans by overdrafts of its branches. They were overdrawing the national count. About November 1981, with a letter from the manufacturer's Hanover Trust, they complained that E.F. Hutton corporate headquarters had overdrawn their national account by $1 billion, vastly exceeding overdrafts in branches for many months. And Mr. Pierce's lawyers filed a complaint of 80 statements in which Griffin Bell's report were labeled as false assertions. They listed 23 assertions, September 5, 1985, that were lies. They referred to the branches that overdrew more than $1 billion, and they were out of the Washington, D.C. branches. And the Pierce said the lawyers that pleaded guilty involved 113 branches, and the offices actually exonerated the law case 83 of these branches, including 55 representatives with 656 accounts and $1.2 billion. They failed to deal with anything but 10 offices, and they were actually representing 176 counts and $623 million. What I'm trying to say here from this article, and I think you understand it, is that only a few branches were touched in this case of investigation of E.F. Hutton, and the Washington, D.C. branch was not mentioned. Now, Jimmy Carter's attorney general was Griffin Bell, and Jimmy Carter was going to be under investigation by the Justice Department and needed a special prosecutor for the investigation of Robert Vesco. And I have articles going back to 1980. One, the grand jury convened with newspaper reports that the Department of Political Justice should investigate Jimmy Carter's written direction to his attorney general, that's Griffin Bell, to see representatives of Robert Vesco. And Vesco is a partner of Mr. Letter Rivas of the Columbia Cocaine Cartel. And they were supposed to meet with Vesco. Vesco would give a large amount of money to Jimmy Carter if he would erase the charges against him. And there were investigations and complaints that the attorney general, this is Griffin Bell, was covering up the Vesco connections to Jimmy Carter. And now Jimmy Carter's attorney, Griffin Bell, the attorney general, was down there with Hassenfuss, who was dealing with these cocaine dealers and gun runners, sending empty airplanes that would be empty back and putting the narcotics back, flooding them to the United States. I want to do more on Merrill Lynch next week. This is a little bit on the cocaine connections. Next week, I want to go into the pizza connections and the links of Donald Reagan to the Sicilian pizza connections, because the Condrogate is fairly well going to cover the Columbia connections and their ties to E.F. Hutton and Griffin Bell and Hassenfuss. Next week, we'll go into Donald Reagan and the art of laundering drug dollars, and the pizza connections of Merrill Lynch. The two merge, but I'll take them separately and be updating them. There are two different operations that come together in that lawsuit and that court case that's taking place in Washington, D.C. It's interesting. Eventually, these things do come together and have to come together, and outside law cases are bringing them up, not the Justice Department and nobody in the drug enforcement, but the private cases are smoking out these people who do connect together. So hopefully I will continue along these lines. There just isn't enough time. I could do hours, a whole year, an hour a day, and never even touch the drug connections of these people. But the time is up, so I have to accept that fact. I'll be back with you next week to continue Donald Reagan and the art of laundering drug dollars. This is Mae Brussel, and watch these court cases in the newspaper in Washington and the E.F. Hutton case, because they don't tell you all the things that connect, but maybe I'll have time to fill you in with some of them. In the meanwhile, take care. Thanks for the articles and books, and we'll continue on along these lines next week.